This is a Christian Science extemporaneous prayer treatment. The website is mbeinstitute.org. There are various buttons at the bottom of every page which enable one to find out information about the Institute and the website. There is also a very extensive menu in the top left corner of every page, and the header, which is the top section of every page, includes a variety of links to some of the most popular pages on the website. The title to this Mary Baker Eddy Institute extemporaneous prayer treatment is Revelation versus Adam Dream. Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy is the title to the textbook of Christian Science. If you study about the effective way to read, it emphasizes the importance of looking at any introductory quotes and chapter titles and topic titles within the chapter. And Science and Health is well populated with both of these items, which are very useful in directing thought to the overall theme of not only the chapter, but within the chapter, many topics. Let's review the introductory quotes. The first one is from Jesus. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The second one is from Shakespeare. "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third one from Mary Baker Eddy. "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." Another important quote is from Einstein. This is not in the textbook, but it's on the website. And Einstein stated, "Blessed art thou, for everything that is in this book." Thou is referring to Mary Baker Eddy, and the book is the textbook that has been mentioned already. He also said that science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. Christian Science is the only religion that we are aware of that includes both science and the greatest religion ever discovered, and that is Christianity. Why do I say that? Because Christianity is the only religion that is included as a main part of the study of Christian Science, which is healing. Jesus made many healings, and he was considered doing miracles. But Mary Baker Eddy discovered the science of his healings, and therefore it wasn't a miracle at all, but it was following a very systematic, structured approach. It's just that it wasn't verbalized. But it has been discovered to be effective and was utilized in every one of his healings. On page 146, Mary Baker Eddy says this: "Divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease." And on page 330, she states this: "When the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated." She gives us a very definite statement that Christian Science is based on a science which is based on a divine principle. And principle means that it is a structure with a system. Just like in mathematics, you can be anywhere in the world, under any kind of weather, the color of your skin doesn't matter, your background and education doesn't matter. But if you have learned enough about mathematics to know that 4 times 7 is 28, you're going to get the same answer no matter who you are or what circumstances it is under or where you're located. Or where you're located, or what the weather is, or anything else. The system of Christian Science, or divine metaphysics, two different terms for the same thing, is based on a divine principle, which is a structure, which includes a system, which operates the same for everyone, because it is based on a fixed principle. And if you follow both the letter and the spirit, you will be successful. We have a button on the website up in the header, which is the top section of every page, and it says Heal Everything. And we give you the very specific procedure, and if you will follow it with discipline, as a genius does when they're working toward a goal, then you will be successful in healing whatever problem you may be facing. But you have to be a genius. And what do I mean by that? You have to decide on a project that will benefit everyone, and you have to pursue it with discipline in a structured scientific manner. And if you do that, you are a genius, because a very small percentage of the population actually follow through with their original intention. And if you do, you are classified as a genius, because you will bring results with every effort you have, as long as it is a worthwhile one that's going to benefit everyone involved. That obviously means it has to be spiritual in nature and not something based on greed or something that is based on gaining more in material things. That is not something that is going to benefit everyone concerned, because you could end up with a lot of currency, money, and it could become worthless. Or every year it could go down in value, so it buys less and less. Something that is spiritual maintains its value, and it builds, it compounds to benefit everyone. And the good you do and embody reflects out into the universe, so everyone has access to knowing about it and benefiting from the same principles that you have proven to be effective for you in whatever situation you were involved in. So what does the title mean, Revelation versus Adam Dream? If one looks in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, the entire chapter up through verse 3 of chapter 2 gives an account of the spiritual record of creation. Before we go any further, I would like to explain what Mary Baker Eddy means by the letter and the spirit. The letter is the text. It's learning about the text that is in the Bible, Science and Health, and any other books that are helpful. Dictionary is very helpful, for example. That you learn about it, understand it, and live it in your life. That is considered the letter. The spirit is the attitude and the atmosphere that you surround yourself with that is either a giving or a taking attitude. Love is a giving attitude. Greed is a taking attitude. Anything material is a taking attitude, because you think that there is a limited supply and you have to get everything you can while the getting is good. But if you have confidence that spirit is the real substance, and as mentioned already, spirit maintains its value. Matter does not. It's impossible for matter to, because it is based on a thought that is erroneous as opposed to factual. So if we're going to utilize the real record of creation, then we are going to approach it with the standpoint that Einstein suggests, and that is curiosity. He says curiosity has its own reason for existing. Never stop questioning. So if you're studying the first chapter of Genesis, you want to continuously question everything you read and think to yourself, what does this mean? What is the message here? Is this the letter or the spirit? And of course, a lot of words explain the spirit as well as giving you the letter. We need both in order to be successful. Love is like an ointment, like a lubricant that makes everything work smoothly together. There are seven terms that define God. They are principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. That is the order that they are presented on page 587. On page 465, they're presented in a different order, but the same terms, because that doesn't change, those are the synonymous terms that define God. And on page 465, it says, God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. The other one was principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. Each has their own purpose, and that is explained in other parts on our website. By the way, if you want to communicate with us about anything that you do not understand, you're invited to do so, but with the way we communicate is through Telegram, because that is the only service that gives you free voice, free text, voice messages, and file transfer, in which they do not accumulate or keep the data, and they don't sell it, they don't loan it or share it or rent it to anyone. That is private communication between the two parties that are involved, and it is encrypted. So that is the service we use for all communication with our clients and with our readers. I don't mean client as something that we provide a paid service to, but our reader, our readership, the viewers of the website. So you can contact us by sending us a message, which is available on the contact page. And the button to the contact page is both in the menu in the lower section, and the menu is in the top left corner of every page, and also in the footer. And that's also on the left side of the footer. And there you can send a message. Now, we do not reply to emails because we utilize only Telegram, because that is private and encrypted. Emails are not private, and they are encrypted on one end depending on the service you use, but it's not encrypted on the other end unless both parties are a part of it. Anyway, we don't use email because it's too susceptible to spam, and we use only Telegram. So if you are a Telegram user, you can send a message with your name and your phone number that you use for Telegram, and we will add you as a contact, and then we will make contact with you so that we can have a discussion about anything, any question you have on the website, or about any prayer treatment, or anything to do with Christian Science. We're very happy to communicate with everyone that is sincerely interested. So, you send a message with your Telegram name and telephone number We will add you as a contact, and then we will send you a welcome message, and then we can have contact whenever it's mutually convenient. We are available about 20 hours a day, so it's very easy, no matter what time zone you live in, to have communication with us. And if we're busy at the moment, we will get back to you very promptly. So, getting back to the topic at hand here, we need to realize that there are two different accounts. Genesis 1 up through verse 3 of Genesis 2 is the spiritual record of creation, which is the real record. And beginning with verse number 4 in chapter 2, it is the Adam dream. It is the story of Adam and Eve. And we call it a dream because it is not the real record of creation. Now, Mary Baker Eddy goes a step further, and she says that truth is always true. Therefore, there is nothing new. Ecclesiastes says there is nothing new under the sun. Therefore, Mary Baker Eddy translates the word creation to mean revelation. It's new to us, and something new we have discovered is not new, it is just new to us. Frederick L. Rawson was a very well-known worldwide electrical consultant. This is over 100 years ago. People would go to see him from all around the world for him to solve their electrical problems. Big companies that could not figure out how to solve a problem, they would go to him. Thinking back in that time frame, they may live where it would take them a month to get to where he is and a month to get back. So it would be a 2-month investment of time, in addition to, of course, the time you would be spending with the expert. Frederick L. Rawson discovered how to heal back in time, which means he could turn the clock back, perform the healing. Of course, the healing is really done by truth, which is the facts, but he would be the catalyst of it. And then all of the record of any aggravation that took place from the time the problem was first discovered until it was healed was removed from consciousness. It literally was going back in time and having the healing effective at the time the problem was first discovered. Can you imagine how beautiful that would be for people that went through tremendous suffering for extended periods of time? Could be many years, even several decades. It would all be removed from consciousness. That was not new. Frederick L. Rawson is from the UK, and he said they used to teach in school that there was no time. Obviously, the political correctness of that was not acceptable, so they started teaching the false thing about time instead of the truth. And that has happened to our education throughout all subjects and throughout the world. Something else that is very important at the beginning of a prayer treatment is to state that everything is possible to God. Why? Because God is omnipotent. God is omni, which means that God is the one, only, and all. Now, God is omnipotent. That means that God is the one, only, and all power. God is omniscient. Omniscience includes wisdom, intelligence, and knowing. That means the one and only intelligence, the one and only wisdom, the one and only knowing is God. Everything about God is one, only, and all. In other words, God is all in all. God is all source, which includes all manifestation. We are exactly what it says in Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26. It says, "And let man be made in the image and likeness of God, and let him have dominion over all the earth, over everything that creepeth on the earth, the fowl of the air, everything under the earth, the fish, everything." That's who we are if we recognize our spiritual nature as the reflection of God. Otherwise, we can go through life as a miserable material element that has no control over anything. We could have a storm that could wipe out our home. We could have money in a currency that becomes worthless. We could have assets that are stolen. Everything in a material basis and in the material realm can disappear. And it can be a great chore to try to protect it from being stolen or damaged. Having a focus on matter is not fun, and it's not productive. But having a focus on spirit, that is permanent. Absolutely permanent. And that's what we want to strive for. And everything we think, say, and do is to have our basis in spirit instead of matter. Spirit is flawless. Totally flawless. There's no matter therein. And as noted, spirit is permanent. Matter is a false concept of reality, and therefore it is extremely temporary, and it even only appears to be real until we wake up to the facts, which are clearly explained in the Bible. And of course, substantiated in the textbook of Christian Science, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. All of Mary Baker Eddy's writings support what is given to us in the Bible, except she gives us some very elaborate explanations and translations so that we can put it to use on a daily basis and understand what we're doing. Because there's a principle with a structure and a system behind everything that is in the textbook. We have the most advanced works on the system of divine metaphysics on our website. And the latest author that has taken it to the most advanced level is Rolf Witzke. That's with a W, W-I-T-Z-S-C-H-E. And he was a personal friend of the Institute, and he gave us permission to use anything from his works. By the way, as of now, everything for personal use on our website is free, but commercial use is forbidden and must receive in writing the approval of the webmaster prior to its use. Therefore, if you are utilizing it for your own spiritual advancement, it is free to use. But if you try to sell the products, then you are breaking the law. And don't expect to get any benefit from it whatsoever, because it's impossible to do when you're breaking the law of God and the law of the land. Do you know of anyone that was born as a result of taking a rib out of a man and creating you? That's what mortal mind expects you to believe. That's what the churches expect you to believe. They expect you to believe chapter 2 of Genesis as being the record of your existence, the record of your birth. Christian Science takes exactly the opposite view and emphasizes that chapter 1 is the real record of our existence. Well, the existence that we are aware of. Let me clarify that. We, if we are a reflection of truth, have always been in existence. Maybe we're in existence in another form. I'd have no idea what the timeline would be. But the point is that our heritage in reality is based on reality. In Genesis 1 up through Genesis 2 verse 3 is a record of reality. It is the revelation of how everything is the way it is. And the chain of command, as a reflection of God, is man, you and me. Man is considered a generic term that includes both male and female. The belief that our heritage begins with Adam and Eve is the excuse that is used in the churches that we are born a sinner, because Adam and Eve is a record of sin. But the first record, the spiritual record of creation, includes no sin. It includes nothing that is ridiculous, as is in chapter 2, starting with verse 4. Can you imagine that you've been believing that you were born a sinner based on a rib being taken out of Adam, and you were made from that? Most people just believe what they're told, especially in religion. They don't really read the words. They don't really pay attention. They don't look up in the dictionary what the words mean that they don't have an absolute thorough understanding of already. The word hearing, most people don't understand what that means. If you look it up, you will find that it means understanding. Hearing is understanding. If you're going to utilize your spiritual senses, then hearing means spiritual understanding. You don't get spiritual understanding from vision. You get it from hearing. Vision is spiritual perception, meaning you know the difference between one thing from another. And from a spiritual view, it means you know the difference between right and wrong, reality and unreality, matter versus spirit, good versus evil, love versus hate, principle versus chaos. Everything can be condensed from a hundreds of thousands of words in a dictionary down to the seven synonymous terms, the four operators. They are termed Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. Word means all the facts about God. Christ means translating what you see in visible terms to its invisible root. Christianity means living the truth about God and translating anything that comes in your way that tries to make you believe something evil is real. And Christianity is the third operator, and that means that you are going to demonstrate that you understand enough about God and you understand enough about the Christ translating things from the invisible to the symbolism of the visible and reverse. And with those two levels of understanding, you will be able to demonstrate, which is what it talks about on page 330, the 32 planks. If you live the letter and the spirit, you will demonstrate divine metaphysics. The last sentence on page 442, which is Christian Science Practice, states the following. Christian Scientist, be a law to yourselves that mental malpractice cannot harm you either when asleep or when awake. Now we need to apply that to everything that we do in our life. Be a law to yourself. We need to have the discipline to follow the laws of God. When Jesus was asked what is the most important commandment, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. So to him, those two commandments are one. They go together. The Bible states that we cannot love that which is invisible until we love that which is visible. That means our fellow human beings. That means we don't try to connive and steal or injure them in any way. We don't covet their wife or their maidservant or their manservant. We don't do anything against them. We treat them as a cherished brother or sister. That's the way we should treat everyone. We all have the same father. That means we all have the same lineage. One person is no better than another. Their actions may be better, but it's up to us what our actions are, and we need to follow what it says here on page 442. Be a law unto ourselves with everything we do. We should have a standard, and don't cross the line. Don't go into a gray area. Don't transition from a standard of perfection to something less. It's always going to be more than we can digest if we try to do that kind of a silly thing. To go over the complete definition of God as described on page 465, which is a summary of chapters 1 to 13, because it is recapitulation, which is chapter 14, that means that what she tells us here, which is in 24 question and answer format, is a summary of the first 13 chapters. If we understand chapter 14 thoroughly, then we understand chapters 1 through 13. If you take class instruction, which I don't even know if it's given anymore because it legally is not supposed to be, it was supposed to be self-expiring according to the manual that Mary Baker Eddy gave to everyone, gave it to the world. But if you took class instruction from an authorized teacher, authorized by a bogus board of directors, then it was supposed to be taught strictly from chapter 14. And that verifies what I just mentioned, and that is that chapter 14 is a summary of chapters 1 through 13. So let's review this definition of God in chapter 14. It says God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. What is left out? Nothing. Incorporeal. We need to be reflecting the qualities of God. God is incorporeal, invisible. We can see the effect of His laws through symbolism, but God is not a man. God is not visible. The next word is divine. God is incorporeal, divine. Divine means perfect. Supreme is the third word. That means above everything else. And omniaction is the fourth. We can reflect those qualities. All of them. We can reflect mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We can reflect the word Christ, Christianity, and science. I mentioned that of what the word Christ and Christianity was, science means that we automatically translate anything that is visible to the invisible reality, which is always good. If we keep always goodness in our consciousness, which Mary Baker Eddy prayed every hour to do so, then we have a totally new perspective on life. Remember what Shakespeare said, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And we're looking for the truth. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And we know that we will be benefited by everything, because it says, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." God's laws are designed to be a benefit to everyone that obeys them. Everyone that obeys them. If we are a law unto ourself, we will obey the laws, because we will realize the benefit that we obtain from doing so. Solomon, who was the son of David, who's the one that slew Goliath, he didn't feel confident about being king when he succeeded his father, David. And so he asked God to give him the wisdom to properly govern his people. And because he asked for something that would benefit others, that's a life of giving. That is love instead of taking. That is love instead of hating. And because he was surrounded in an atmosphere of love in his heart, God gave him not only the wisdom, but everything that you could imagine as a benefit to make living very easy and convenient. And everyone that worked for him had the same attitude. It was an attitude of love, because he reflected it down throughout his very comprehensive staff. Queen of Sheba came to visit him, because his reputation was that he was so wealthy he had everything imaginable. And when she visited him, she wanted to verify if he was really that wealthy. And when she visited him, she said the wealth was much more than expected and much more than the reputation, because everyone had a loving attitude. Forget the material so-called wealth. Everyone was happy. Everyone was happy. Are we going to do the same thing in our life? Are we going to exude with joy? Are we going to be grateful for everything that we have gained from our studies, and everyone that had anything to do with things that we have studied, and their writings and everything, no matter what the source is. If we have gained something from it, we should be openly grateful. And I mean openly with our own consciousness. And of course, under the right circumstances, we would share it with any receptive listener. Giving. That is the key to getting into the right atmosphere. It is highly recommended you read the section on Heal Everything, and that's a button in the header, which is the top part of every page, and it will give you the complete procedure on how to do it. And believe me, developing a life of living, a life of giving, a life of gratitude is at the top of the list. We need to be ready to give up a false sense of reality. And we must have a desire to have something more permanent, more spiritual, more fulfilling. If we do that, we will be shedding the false sense of our heritage. We will no longer believe that we were born of Adam and Eve, or born of Adam's rib, which is really absurd. People just don't even think about what they're reading. The very first thing it says in chapter 2, starting with verse 4, is that there went up a mist. Are you going to see clearly in a mist? I've been in a fog that was so thick you couldn't see your hand in front of your face if you held it right next to your nose. Are we going to take the record of something that is in a mist to be the real record of our heritage? Remember what Shakespeare said. What are we going to put into our thought? What are we going to put into our consciousness? Are we going to affirm what is in Genesis chapter 1 and deny what is in chapter 2 as being real? Because they're opposites. Only one of them can be true. We cannot have an oxymoron. Mary Baker Eddy says the term mortal mind is an oxymoron because mind is not mortal. Mind is immortal. Are we going to create an oxymoron that we are part Genesis chapter 1 and part Genesis chapter 2? That we're good and evil? God is not good and evil. God is only good, as it states on page 587 under the definition of good. It says, God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience. Remember, omniscience is omni-intelligent, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. Omnipresence and omni-action. And I basically recited that earlier in this treatment. But I'm just reviewing. That's what good is. Mary Baker Eddy says the good we do and embody gives us the only power obtainable. She also says that progression, infinite progression, is concrete being. Do we want to make continuous progress? We can't do it if we are mixed between good and evil. We have to constantly be clearing out of consciousness anything that is not absolutely an expression of perfection, the perfection of God. And that includes what we think about everyone and everything. Because our consciousness is where it begins and where it ends. What are we going to have? What are we going to adopt into our consciousness? It's up to us. It is entirely up to us. No one else and nothing else can make the decisions for us. Everyone needs to work out their own salvation. God is omnipresent. God is only good. No, God didn't create a storm or an earthquake or a fire or anything else. Everything that is chaos is man-made, man-generated, man so-called created. We have to accept that. And we cannot assign a person's name to it. Very easy to try to blame the presidential administration prior to January of 2025 on an individual, but he wasn't even alive. They had a fake in there. They had an actor that they had hired to play his part, and they used the tricks of camouflage of a rubber suit to make him look like the person's name that he was using in his acting. If you were alert, if you paid attention to the website, if you even knew the proper news resources, you would not have been tricked at all. And therefore, you wouldn't have been concerned about any actions that he took. It was all fake. It was all movie. It was all for the reason that the present president said, and that is to wake up the audience. That's you and me, the whole world. To wake up the population. Everything is on a plan. Everything that you see is for the purpose of waking up everyone. We should help the ones that are receptive, that need to be awakened, that are friends. Let's look at the definition of God in the glossary, which is chapter 17, which is part of the key to the scriptures. On 587, it says, God is the great I am. Have you ever looked up the word great? G-R-E-A-T? I highly recommend it. God is the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. One more thing I want to mention while it comes to thought here. Page 115 and 116, it really begins on page 114, gives the four levels of understanding. Three of them are described as mortal mind, and the highest level is immortal mind. In music, in mathematics, any science, there are levels of understanding, levels of consciousness. And the levels of consciousness are described on those pages. And you can go to our menu and just look under levels, and it will bring up the text. Very important to understand the four levels. Christian science, or the system of divine metaphysics, is really very easy to understand. The only thing that is the challenge is making the decision that we have decided there must be something better than a focus on matter controlling our lives, or our brain, or mortal mind, or nervous system, or blood, bones, anything. that is material in nature cannot control a divine idea. If it cannot control God, it cannot control God's image. We are God's image. As I recited to you from Genesis chapter 1, God made man in his image and likeness. That's us. We are man. That's a generic name, the way it's been used for thousands of years. But it really means man and woman together, as Mary Baker Eddy makes it clear when she translates the Lord's Prayer. The first verse of the Lord's Prayer says, "Our Father which art in heaven," and she translates that to mean, "Our Father, Mother God." It's on page 16 and 17 of the Christian Science textbook. The Lord's Prayer. I highly recommend you memorize that and you refer to it frequently. She says that if we understand properly the Lord's Prayer, we can heal instantaneously. Jesus gives us one simple prayer. Anyone can memorize it. It's highly recommended. We need to become independent, not dependent upon someone else for our well-being. On the other hand, we should be willing to be giving and help others that are in need and are receptive. But we want to become independent ourselves, and we want to also show the way for other people. If it's a receptive individual. We have been given all the tools that we need. Are we going to use them? The definition of man is on page 491. It says that man is the compound idea of infinite spirit, the spiritual image and likeness of God, the full expression of mind. And I explained to you what mind is. The full expression. In other words, we have the ability to reflect the omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing of God. Have you ever been in a situation where you tried to remember something and it just didn't come to you? And you said, "It will come to me." I say it several times a day. Almost instantly, it's there. I remember it. We want to be more independent than what we are. And we have the tools to do it. If we have the will, and that's a spiritual will, wanting to be following God, then we will have it manifested to us. We want to claim the true revelation in Genesis chapter 1 as our heritage. We must deny the falsity that is in chapter 2 as being our heritage. We have to claim the truth and we have to deny the error. We must live what we claim. Thought, speech, and action must follow what we are claiming to be our heritage. We must treat everyone as we would like to be treated. We must see everyone as being perfect. And think of qualities, not names, not personalities. Think of qualities. Think of the fact that everything that exists is a reflection of God. Or it's a reminder to flip it to see the reflection of God. Because truth tries to mock error. It is very deceptive. It creates decoys trying to trick us, trying to make us believe that something is true that is false. We don't want to fall for it. We want to be reflecting the intelligence of the one and only mind of God, the wisdom and the knowing, and then we will not be tricked. We can't not be tricked if we are following God. It cannot happen. And that's what we want to do. We want to focus on God as our guide. And of course, from a more human standpoint, Jesus as our guide. Mary Baker Eddy said, "He's the most perfect man that ever trod the globe. He is our way shower. He's not the way. He shows us the way. Because he looked to God." A Pharisee asked him, said, "Good master," and then asked him a question. I think it was about having eternal life. Anyway, Jesus immediately corrected him. He said, "Why call me good? There's only one good, and that is God." And of course, Mary Baker Eddy, as I read to you, defines what good is on page 587. We should keep that definition in thought all the time. Very easy to memorize these definitions that I'm referring to. God on page 465, God on page 587, good on page 587, man on page 591. Many things are easy to memorize and so powerful. Page 468, the scientific statement of being. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. That's one of the first things that Frederick L. Rosen says. Make the statement, whatever the problem is, there is no, and then you fill in the blank with the problem. And then he immediately suggests that you refresh by claiming it verbally, whether it's out loud or silently, that you are spiritual. Man is spiritual. I am spiritual because God is spirit. And spirit is the only substance. Therefore, my substance is a reflection of the Spirit of God. I cannot have a problem with the functionality of anything because I reflect my functionality from the functionality that is God. I cannot have an ugly appearance because God is beautiful. My appearance is a reflection of the appearance of God. Everything about me is a reflection of God. My intelligence, my wisdom, my knowing. Everything. Everything. For everyone is a reflection of God. God manifesting himself as each one of us. And we have to see each one of us in their true spiritual identity. As mentioned, Mary Baker Eddy, every hour reminded herself, every hour. And she's one of the most spiritual people that ever walked on the globe. And she had to constantly remind herself, because evil is lurking, trying to trick us. We have to be prepared. We have to do preventative healing, protecting our thought. If you're going to a very important meeting, and let's say you're driving a car, and you get a flat tire, what do you do about it? If you have the ability and the tool to fix the tire, change it, put on the spare, you should be doing that. But as you're doing it, you should address the fact that this could very well be a trick to try to keep you from getting to the meeting. So you must deny that there cannot be any decoy that can prevent you from getting to the meeting. God is the one in control. God is the only power. And nothing can stand between you and your source. Nothing. Mary Baker Eddy taught a class in divine metaphysics. She named her college the Metaphysical College. And those who graduated from her final class in 1898, we're talking 127 years ago, she gave the degree, the certification of Doctorate of Christian Science. And in that class, she provided them with 7 different prayers, one for each one of the 7 synonymous terms for God. I'm going to close this prayer treatment by selecting one of those, and it's highly recommended that you look them up on our website and repeat them just like she says, often. Repeat them often. If you care to really progress, you will also want to pray every hour. You can spend as much or as little time as fits your need. If you're working for a company, they're probably not going to give you a 5-minute break every hour. But you could certainly take a 1-minute break or a 2-minute break. And you can recite one of the quotations that we've been reciting throughout the prayer. So I will recite to you one of those 7, and also I will indicate the time and date, so it'll be a record on the verbal part of this audio. Since the spiritual record of creation has been emphasized in this prayer treatment, I shall recite to you the Diapason of Heaven by Mary Baker Eddy on the topic of spirit as being the only substance of man. Diapason of Heaven for spirit. We must declare often that spirit is not an invisible personality inhabiting a material body. Spirit has no other meaning than God and substance. We must declare there is only one Spirit, and that is God. Spirit is my God, and my God is Spirit. Individual, incorporeal, immaterial. Spirit is enthroned in my consciousness. Matter and personal sense are not enthroned. We must declare these statements for ourselves in our work. Amen. It is 25-08-13 at 1904 on Wednesday. That is 7:04 p.m. And that is October 13, 2025. This concludes the prayer treatment entitled Revelation versus Adam Dream. Thank you for listening. The end.